is Yuma Daf Yud Beis. And we were just discussing the debate as to whether, or discussion as to whether shuls can become tamei or not, or the laws of tumas nagaim or not. So we said there might be a distinction between those of the cities and the villages. So those who belong to the city belong to a lot of people, so there's no tumas nagaim for the shuls of big cities, but there are for those of villages that might be owned by individuals. And the Gemara asks, V'chi dikrachi reina metame bin gaim, and the shuls of cities, are they not metame bin gaim? V'atanya, behovah learna b'raisa, achuzaschem. The Torah says that I will place a negat tzaras of base eretz achuzaschem, and we learn from there that achuzaschem metame bin gaim, that, hold on one second. Okay, that your land is metam, your achuzah is metam ben goyim, ve'en Yerushalayim metam ben goyim. But Yerushalayim is not metam ben goyim because you don't own it, because it's not nischalka b'shvatim. The Yerushalayim did not belong to everyone else. I'm sorry, hold on one second. Hold on. Right, hold on. Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so everyone can hear me now? Everyone can hear me? Okay. I can't hear people, but hopefully you can hear me. Okay, you can hear me? You can hear me? Okay. So he says that Karachim ain't metam min gaim. So okay, right. So we say that Yerushalayim is not metam min gaim because there are no owners, because Yerushalayim was not given to any tribes. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ani lo shamati. I didn't hear that Yerushalayim is not cannot be tamei min gaim ela makom mikdash bevad. No, only the mikdash itself." That cannot be metamei negaim. The rest of Yerushalayim can be metamei negaim. Why? Because it was given to Yehuda and to Binyamin. It's not true, it belongs to everyone. It belongs to Yehuda and to Binyamin. Each tribe got a different portion, as we'll see soon. So ha'abate k'neisios abate midrashim metamei negaim. So what do we see from here? According to Rabbi Yehuda, only the makom ha'mikdash is not metamei negaim. But what? But shuls and bate midrash can be metamei negaim. Even though they are belong to cities. So Ema, so the word says no. You have to reread the answer of Rabbi Yehuda. Ema ni amar Rabbi Yehuda ni lo shamati ela makom mikudash bovad. So he's not saying it's not that the only the makom mikdash is a problem, but makom mikudash, which is what? Even shuls, the holy place, even shuls about the midrash. Gemara asks, Babai kabiflagi. What is the nature of the debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda if Yerushalayim is Metam Ben Gaim? So Tanakama Savar, Tanakama holds Yerushalayim Lo Nischak L'Shvatim. The Tanakama holds that Yerushalayim was not given to the other tribes like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but they all have an equal portion in it, and therefore it's not considered Achuzaschem, it doesn't belong to individual, anyone's inheritance, and therefore it's not Metam Ben Gaim. But Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yerushalayim Nischak L'Shvatim. Yehuda holds that no, Yerushalayim was divided into the different Shvatim. We pluk said the Hari Tanaya. This debate is reflected in the following debate. Did Tanya, Mahaya Bechalko Shel Yehuda, what was in the portion of Yehuda? Har Habayis, Halishkos. So the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, was Yehuda, and the Lishkos, that the chambers of, on the, and the Azaros, also the, that were in the Chael on the eastern side, that on the eastern, the outer side of the right on the outer side of the Mikdash and the Azaros of the Mikdash, Ezros Nashim, Ezros Yisrael, and so that belongs to Yehuda. So the holier stuff went to Binyamin. That was the Ulam, the antechamber, the Heichal, the structure itself that had the and the Kodesh Kodashim, the structure itself that had the Menorah, Shulchan, Mizbech, Ketores, and the Kodesh Kodashim, that was and from there and further up to the western part of the Har HaBayis, what belonged to Binyamin. So the Uritzua Haisa Yotza Bechalko Shel Yehuda Bechdesa Bechalko Shel Binyamin Bahayom Mizbech Badoi, and there was a strip going from the portion of Yehuda entering the portion of Binyamin, and that's where the Mizbeach was built. And so the Mizbeach had to be built in the portion because the Mizbeach had to be, I guess part of the Mizbeach had to be, one second, let me get to it. So he says that there was the Yesod HaMizra, the southeast foundation, Yesod of the Mizbeach. So that's where Yehuda, that belonged to Shevet Yehuda. So this strip surrounded the Mizbeach on two sides. On the eastern side of the Mizbeach, that belonged to Yehuda. And the southern side, so therefore, in practice, the Mizbeach was not built in the portion of Yehuda at all, just the Yesod, the foundation on the, hopefully you have pictures in your Gemaras, on the southeast side, that belonged to Yehuda. And Binyamin was upset that this strip did not belong, he wanted it, Lebalak B'cholyom, he wanted this, and actually there was there was a strip that belonged even on the southwest side, the southwest corner, there was also a strip that belonged to Yehuda, and so basically on the eastern side, you had that belonged to Yehuda, the strip by the Yesod, and also on the southwest side, and Binyamin wanted it because what did it say? Chofef alav kol yom. He was upset, scratching himself constantly, like someone who can't reach his desire. Therefore, he became a guest for the Aaron, or the host for the Aaron that was in his portion. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, which was in the Kodesh Kodashim, so that was in the tribe of Binyamin. So what emerges from here is that he holds that, according to Rabbi Huda, that Yerushalayim was divided among the Shvatim, between part of it went to Binyamin, part of it went to Yehuda. And the Tana that was brought above holds that Yerushalayim was not divided into the Shvatim, the Tanya. Ein maskiri, and so we see there's some rules. If it's not given to any shvatim, so there are certain rules. Ein maskirin batim b'Yerushalayim. You don't lease out, rent out houses in Yerushalayim to the Olei Rego, but you let them go for free. Lefisha einan shalahem, because it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Imagine if they would do this nowadays. They'd kill tourism. That's what they make the most money, right? People want to stay in Yerushalayim for Pesach and Sukkos. So in the old days, they didn't charge them. They didn't rent to them because it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. However, though, the beds, they would rent to them. Rav Elazar would say, Omer aflo mitot. He wouldn't even rent the beds because the beds don't belong to them. Lefichach, oros, kachim, bali, ushbezichdan, notlim, osan, bizroa. So therefore, because they didn't get any money on this, the Chachamim said that the skins of the kachim, that the Olei Regalim would shecht, and eat in Yerushalayim, or to eat the kachim they would eat. So the hosts would take them from the people who brought the korban, who stayed by them. So in that way, in other words, there was this halacha. There was like this technical halacha that you can't make any money from renting. You can't make any money from renting. You can't rent out either the houses or spots, or even beds. So because the people would be very upset, the hosts in Yerushalayim would be very upset about this rule, so they said, okay, we're going to let you, sort of like a little bit of a legal loophole, a little bit, we're going to let you take the skins of the korbanos, the korban Pesach, the korban, or the other korban, the korban shlamim, and we're going to let the host make use of that. So they're not officially getting payment, but they're allowed to take it, so that hopefully they give it. But say Rapanav Yafos, Amar Abaye says Shvabida. We see from here Orach Ara Lebishkag Lemishbak Enish Gufal Mashka Leushpize. It's Derech Eretz that a guest should leave for the host the jug, the earthenware jug with what he drank in, or this the animal skin that he shechted and he ate there. In other words, it's if it what we see from here, if it wasn't minag derech eretz, then the chachamim would not be metaken that they could take it forcibly, because the guests are not obligated to do it. It's only derech eretz, and therefore, because it's derech eretz, and because it's derech eretz to do that, so then they would allow them to forcibly take it if they wouldn't give it for derech eretz. Okay, in any case, the Gemara now returns and asks on distinguishing villages and cities. Is it true that shuls in villages become tameh binigayim? So it says, Vatanya lachuza ad yichusu osa. Kavshu osa lo chilku lishvatim. So the Braisa says, the Benigi Batim, it says, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, what I give to you as an inheritance, as an achuza, so it didn't take effect until they conquered Eretz Yisrael from the nations. And if they conquered it, if Kavshu osa lo chilku lishvatim, and if they conquered it and it still wasn't divided into the shvatim, or if it was chilku lishvatim lo chilku lebeis avos, or if it was divided into the shvatim but it wasn't divided to, if the land wasn't divided into the different houses, based on us. Now, you have the each shevet, and each shevet, they're different families, and they got certain portions within each shevet. But if that didn't happen yet, and chilku the base avos ve'in kol echad ve'echad makir shelo, and even if it was divided among families, but not everyone in the family recognized what his portion was, minayin, how do you know still the laws of nige batim don't apply? Tavol omar uba asher lo habayis misha miyuchad lo yotzei kol eli she'en miyuchadim lo. So the pasuk says that the person, it has to say, oh, the person comes to the coin and says, "Kenega, it seems to me that I have a neg on my house," but he's got to come to the house. Asher lo. What does it mean asher lo? That's his. Anyone who, that the house belongs to him. This excludes those to whom the house does not belong to him, that they have not designated to him his house. So what do you see from here? That even shuls in the villages do not become tamei binigayim. Because why? Because even those who live in the villages, there, it's not miyuchad. The house is not designated to any one person. The shul is not designated to any one person. In order for there to be nigay, to negaim, to have the laws of tzaras in the house, you have to have a structure that's designated to one person. In the villages, they're still designated to many people. So it wasn't designated to one person, to any one of them. So the the Gemara doesn't like, so because of this question, Gemara says, "Ela machabarta kiddushan mikara." So therefore, you have to make the previous distinction that really, remember, the Gemara gave a few answers. Really, when we say that a shul, one bride says that a shul can get tuma, and one says the shul cannot get tuma. So one says the shul can become tame, tumas negaim. That's talking about where there's a base dira, where there's actually a living quarters in it, then it can become tame. And one that says that it cannot become tame is when it doesn't have a base dira. Okay, back to Yom Kippur stuff. Umaskiri lo kohen acher. So the Mishnah said that we prepare an understudy for the Kohen Gadol in case the Kohen Gadol has a psul, in case something happens to him. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha if the, you say, why do you need to appoint someone an understudy? The Gemara says, pshita eira bo psul kodem tamin shel shachar mechan chin oso tamin shel shachar. He says, listen, it's obvious that if the Kohen Gadol had a psul on Yom Kippur before the Korban Tamin Shel Shachar was brought, the first sacrifice in the morning, then the way that you initiate or you dedicate the understudy to become the Kohen Gadol for that day is that he puts on the 8 garments of the Big Day Kahuna, and he does the Korban Tamin Shel Shachar. So then he can do the rest of the avodah on Yom Kippur. Ella eira bo psul achar tovid shel shachar b'mechantin also. But what if he becomes, the Kohen Gadol becomes pasul after he brought the Korban Tovid shel shachar? How do you initiate the new Kohen that was appointed instead of him? Because the avodah of the Yom Kippur is only done with the 4 begadim, and not with the eight begadim. It says ksonas. The Torah says ksonas bad kodesh yilbash umichnas bad yel b'saro uva avnet uva mitznefes. So that it's actually this tomorrow's parsha that he's going to wear a kesodes michnasayim avnet and mitznefes like a regular kohen. So the question is, so how does he become dedicated? Apparently, in order to be initiated as a Kohen Gadol, you need to, one of the ways you do it is to wear all eight begadim. So how is he going to do that? So Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava ba'avnet. He says that even though you only wear the four begadim, you could still become initiated or dedicated as being a Kohen Gadol because you wear the avnet, you wear a unique, the avnet that's designated to the Kohen Gadol, that is unique. You have to do something, apparently, according to the Gemara, to sort of designate you as a Kohen Gadol. So you have to do something different. So the Avnate is different by the Kohen Gadol than the Kohen Hedyot. But the Gemara says, wait, not so fast. There's a debate about this. So he's saying the following, that this answer is good according to the Tano, who says that the Avnate Kohen Gadol is like the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot, meaning the rest of the year the Kohen they wear an avnet of tzemer pishtim, and they don't change their avnet, they don't change their belt. So what it means is that normally speaking, normally speaking, for the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot, they wear a belt of tzemer and pishtim, and there's no difference between their avnet, between their belts. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is different from a Kohen Hedyot, because the avnet of the Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol is avnet bad yachgor. What is that? Just completely pishtan. Okay? So it is different. So he's wearing something which is clearly only for, it's only flax, so it's clearly only for Yom Kippur. So that is enough to initiate him to be the Kohen Gadol. El man damar avnet shekohen gadol lo zehu avnet shekohen hedyot. But according to the Tano holds, the Kohen Hedyot always wears just a pishtan avnet, and therefore, according to him, the Avnei the Kohen Gadol is actually different than the Avnei the Kohen Hedyot. But what that would mean is that on Yom Kippur, he'd be wearing, the Kohen Gadol would be wearing the same type of belt as the Kohen Hedyot wears, Michael Amemar. So in what way does he initiate himself that he is the Kohen Gadol? So Rabbaye, Lovei Shmoda, Ubahafech B'tzidora, Uchtrav Huda, Tavrav Huda, Shafach B'tzidora, Chayabisa. So what does he say? The other study puts on all eight begadim, and he takes a fork, a metal fork, an iron fork, and he flips over one of the limbs of the korban tamid that's burning on the outer mizbeach, so that it will burn quicker. And basically, that's considered enough of the avoda that he's wearing in the eight begadim, and that's considered avoda. And it's like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, if someone is puzzled to do avoda in the mikdash, if he does that, he's chayav misa, meaning this is halachically defined as avoda, and therefore that's what the Kohen Gadol does after he puts in the eight begadim, and then now he's initiated. Now he can do the Yom Kippur service. Virab Papa, Amar Papa says, avodaso mechanachto. He says that the avoda, he doesn't need something different. Put on eight garments. The avoda of the Kohen on Yom Kippur, that itself initiates him to the Kuna Gadola. Since this is only kosher with the Kohen Gadol, so then it's recognizable that he's a Kohen Gadol by doing the avoda itself. Milo Tanya, kol akelim shasa Moshe mishichasad mikadashtad mikad ve'elach avodasa mechanachtam. Then we learn a brisa that all the kelim that Moshe built for the Mishkan, the pouring oil on them, sanctified them to be a kli shares. But there are other kelim that were used later on. Let's say if a kli got ruined or whatever, so they had to take a replacement kli. All subsequent kelim, let's say they were not anointed with oil, but what? Their avoda initiated them to service, it created kedusha. In other words, the first kelim that were built they achieved the status of Kedusha of holiness once oil was poured on them. The other subsequent Kalim achieved the status of Kedusha once they were used. So to here, the Kohen Gadol achieves the status of Kedusha once he does the Avoda. The Gemara now brings a Machlokas Tanaim when it comes to the Avnei of the Kohen Gadol, of the Kohen Hedyot. From what was it made? Kiyas Rav Dibi, when Rav Dibi came, Omar, he said, Avnei Tosh Kohen Hedyot, Rabbi Rablazor Shimon. So there's a debate. What was this belt of the Kohen Hedyot? What was it made of? That's between Rabbi and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. Chadamar shel kilayim, chadamar shel boots. There's debate. Was it made of kilayim, wool and linen, or was it just made of linen? Tistayim, the Rabbi who the amar shel kilayim. You can prove that, even though it doesn't say in this debate, it didn't say who said what, you can prove that Rabbi's the one who said it was made of kilayim. Natalia, kulun abraisa, ein bein koin gadol koin hedyot, ela ba'avne, divi Rabbi. The only difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot was the belt, according to Rebbe. But Lazar of Shimon Omer, Af Loha Avne. He says, no, the Avne, they were also the same. So, Abbas, when? Which time are we speaking about the Brisa? So, in other words, it's clear that the Avne of the Kohen Gadol on the rest of the year was Kilayim and Yom Kippur was Pishtah. Nobody disagrees with that. Everyone agrees that during the rest of the year, Kohen Gadol is wearing kilayim, an avnei made of kilayim, and Yom Kippur only flax. And the only debate was the belt, the avnei of the Kohen Hedyot. So, what are we talking? What time frame are we talking about in this brisa? Inam b'shar yemos hashanah. If we talk about the rest of the year, tuva ika. There are other differences. Kohen Gadol mishamish b'shemot v'hedyot barba. The Braisa said what? The Braisa said there's only one difference between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. So if you want to say it's talking about the rest of the year, that cannot be, because the rest of the year, that's not the only difference. The Avnei is not the only difference. There's another difference. Kohen Gadol, the more significant difference, Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim, and the Kohen Hedyot wears 4 begadim. So elav Yom Kippurim. So if the Braisa must be talking about Yom Kippur, because it can't be talked about a case where the difference is the number of begadim. So if it's talking about Yom Kippur, so what do we say? That Rebbe on Yom Kippur, that Rebbe say that on Yom Kippur, the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made of flax, pishtad, and if it's different, then the belt of the Kohen, then the Kohen Hedyot, therefore, what must it be? According to Rebbe, it must be that Rebbe holds that the Kohen Hedyot wore one of Kilayim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who disagrees, said there was no difference. So he would say that the Kohen Hedyot wore only Pishtan. So Amri, they reject this. No, really, this debate is the rest of the year, and Baharak Deshavi. So you can say that the price is talking about that they're comparing. They're saying that Rebbe is saying that when it comes to the four begadim that both the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot wear, this is the only difference, the Avnei, and Rabbi Elazar Shimon disagrees. So it's no proof one way or the other. Now, Ki Asa Rabin came, Amar Avnei Tosh Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur Divrei Kol Shel Boots. Rabin said that the Avnei of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur everyone holds was made of flax. The rest of the year, the rest of the year, it was made of kilayim. The only debate was by the belt of the Kohen Hedyot. So now we have an explicit statement that he heard that Rebbe holds that the Kohen Hedyot wore kilayim. And Rav Lazar says the Avnei was made of only Pishtan of flax. Amar Rav Nachman Yisuk Afanan Nami Taninan. We also learned this Braisa regarding the following, that Rebbe holds that the Avnei of the Kohen Hedyot was made of flax, because the pasuk says that Velovash Kohen Mido Vav Michlisei Bad Yilbash Al Bisoro, that when it says that Yilbash, that's extra. It already says v'lavash. So what's the yobash? It should have simply said umichnasei bad al bisaro. My tamalomar yobash. Why does it say umichnasei bad yilbash al bisaro? So lahavi mitznefes v'avnet laharamas hadeshin divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is talking about the mitzvah of trumas hadeshin, beginning of parshat Tzav, and it comes to teach you the word yilbash, that the kohen hedyot has to wear the not only the michnasayim, but also the mitznefes and the avnet. It's a real avoda. He has to wear the hat and he has to wear the belt, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and all four begadim he has to wear. He has to wear the sonat, all the begadim. And Rabbi Dosa Omer, no. What does Yobash come to tell you? Lahavi big day kohen gadol biyom kippurim comes to teach you that the four begadim that are used at Yom Kippur share the kohen hedyot, that are kosher for the kohen hedyot to wear the rest of the year. So that is, so also when it comes to the big day kohen gadol Yom Kippur, it says that the word yilbash, and we learn based on Gzeira Shaveh that the big day lavan of the kohen gadol Yom Kippur are kosher for the big day hedyot, for the kohen hedyot to do the trumas hadeshin the rest of the year. Because the trumas hadeshin, it says the word yilbash, so it's to tell you that that's kosher for the kohen hedyot even with the other avodos. And Rabbi Omer Rabbi says, no, the kohen hedyot is never allowed to use any begadim that the kohen gadol used on Yom Kippur. Why? Shtei tshuvas bedavar, for two reasons. Chada, the avneta shekohen gadol b'yom kippurim lo zehu avneta shekohen hedyot. That the avnet of the kohen gadol is not like the avnet, that avnet kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is not like the avnet of the kohen hedyot during the rest of the year. The ode, and another difference is begadim shenishtam shebehem kedusha chamura to shavishem kedusha kala. He says, how can that be? How can the kohen gadol, who he used these begadim for such a more severe avoda, how could these begadim now be used for a much more minor avoda? So Rabbi Yehuda, no, you can't use the begadim of the kohen gadol for the Yom Kippur. Cannot be used by the kohen hedyot for a regular. But what's the first response? He says, that the begadim of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur cannot be used for the kohen hedyot because the avnet is different. So if everyone agrees that the avnet of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is made of flax, so therefore, if you're saying that the avnet on for kohen hedyot is different, so obviously he must hold that the avnet of the kohen hedyot in the rest of the year is kilaya. In any case, the rest of the Brisa continues that elamat tavalomar yilbash. So, what's the word yilbash come to teach you according to Rabbi? The Rabbi says hashchakim that to say that you can wear worn begadim, that they're still kosher for avoda. So they're still kosher. If they're worn out, they're not so fresh, then you could still use them for trumas hadeshin. Apparently, the Tosu says that as long as it's not ripped, then you can use it as the avoda. And as the Rav Dosa l'tamei, and this thing that Rav Dosa said follows his reasoning in general. The Tanya, because we're learning the Brisa. The Brisa says uba aron el ol moed upashas bi de'abara shelovas bevo el akosh v'licham shav. It says we're going to read tomorrow that Aaron comes to the ol moed and he removes his linen garments that he was wearing and he'll leave it there. And the pasuk says v'ini chamsham, he leaves there. Malamish yetuunim gniza, meaning what? That you have to put them away. You can't use them again. And Rav Dosa omer shalosh tamish behem yom kippurim acher. No, it simply means that you can't use them on another Yom Kippur. But a kohen hedyot could use it. So Rav Dosa, that's why Rabbi Dosa believes that a kohen hedyot can use the kohen gadol begadim Yom Kippur for regular use, and obviously Rebbe disagrees. The Gemara now brings a brisa about which the Tanaim disagree when it comes to when the first Kohen who becomes pasul, then he returns to be, and let's say the psul goes away. So what's the halacha of the understudy? So Tana Rabbanan, a rabo psul uminu acher takhlof. So let's say the Kohen Gadol developed a psul. He can't do the avodah Yom Kippur, and they appointed an understudy. And then afterwards, the psul of the first kohen goes away. The kohen gadol goes away. So Rishon Chozer Avodah. So the first one returns to his Avodah. And Shani, this is the understudy, Kol Mitzvos Kahuna Alav. He is subject to all the prohibitions of the Kohen Gadol, meaning what? In terms of his hair, the rules about his hair. You can't let your hair grow too much, and you can't rip your garments like Avelim, and you can't be tamei to krovim. You cannot marry an almana, and you can use the eight begadim. Divrei Meir is what Meir says. And Rabbi Yossi says, Rishon Chozer Lavodah. So the first one returns. Sheni Eneroi Lo Kohen Gadol Lo Kohen Hedyot. The understudy is stuck. He can't serve as a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot, meaning he can't use the eight begadim like a Kohen Gadol, and he can't use the four like a Kohen Hedyot. So we can see why in a second. Oh, Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef Ben Ela Mitzipori, Shira Bo Psul B'Kohen Gadol. So the story of the Yossi Ben Ela, that there was a psul for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Uminihu Tachta. They appointed Yosef ben Elam to be his understudy. Vamar Chachamim, Rishon, Chozer Lavodah. So when the other Kohen Gadol was back to, Oh, sorry, Mark, you had a question. Sorry. Just call out if you have a question. Oh, do I not hear again?
It's not on the same day. It's could be weeks later that yes. It became...
Correct. Could be any time later. Any time later. Correct. Correct. So... Einaroy Lola Coin Velo God of Lola Coin Hedgehog. So the Yosef Ben Elam was not fit to be a Coin God or a Coin Hedgehog. Coin God, why can't he be a Coin God? Mishum Eva, because there'd be hatred between him and the Coin God. You can't do any Coin God stuff, and he can't even be like a Coin Hedgehog. Why? Mishum Malam because we ain't below Meridim. Once you served in a more severe, stringent Kedusha, so you can't. You can only go up, but you can't go down. So you're stuck. Okay, and so let's just finish this. Amar Rabba Barachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha to Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the second one can't serve as a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot. Umoder Rabbi Yossi, Sheim Avar, the Avad, Avadosuk Sheira. However, Rabbi Yossi agrees that the second Kohen is like, I'm annoyed, I can't be Kohen Gadol anymore. If he does Kohen Gadol Avoda, so then it works with the Eved. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Halacha Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda Rav says Halacha Rav Yossi. Umode Rav Yossi Shein Mei Sarishan Shechozer Lavodaso. Rav Yossi admits that if the first Kohen Gadol dies, the second one is allowed to can now return to the Avoda like the Kohen Gadol. Pshita, is that obvious? Ma'ale Tema, what is it? What might you have said? Havalei Tzar Michayim. You might have argued that let's say I'm the understudy. And the first guy goes back, right? The Kohen Gadol goes back. So we're angry at each other because I'm waiting for you to die so that I can become the Kohen Gadol. So maybe we should make it a rule that I cannot be a Kohen Gadol once I lost the privilege. In other words, if I was an understudy, I did the avoda, and now the first guy returns. So maybe we should rule that I will not be Kohen Gadol when the first guy dies because I'm going to be hoping and praying for him to die. So, Kabbalah Shalom, no, halacha is, we're not concerned about that. The first guy dies, the second one can become the Kohen Gadol. Okay.